Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I would like to bring a message to you today from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. This is a glorious message. This is a precious message, a sweet and precious message. 1 Peter 1, verse 18, it says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed." Now, we know some things. If we are, as verse 2 says, elect, if God chose to save us, if God has chosen to call us to himself and give us a knowledge of his Son, send his Spirit and teach us the things of Christ. If we are elect, verse 2 goes on to say, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. If we have been begotten again. Verse 3 says, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If God has done that for us, then we know some things. We don't strongly suspect some things. We know some things. We know some things. We know that we lost everything we had in our fall into sin. We know that. If God has opened our eyes, we know that. If we see what we are by nature, see who He is, we know that we lost everything we had in our fall into sin. We became completely ruined in that great debt of sin. That debt swallowed us up. Just swallowed up in debt. But we also know that somebody redeemed us. Somebody redeemed us. Somebody paid a debt that he did not owe. And it was a debt that we could not pay. We couldn't pay it. He didn't owe it. But he paid it. I tell you what else we know. If God has done this for us, this is what else we know. Our debt was so great. That debt that we fell into, it was so great. Nothing on this earth was valuable enough to pay it. Nothing on this earth had enough value in it to pay that debt. Verse 18 says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold." You were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. It's not that silver and gold were just not selected to be the payment. God just did not use silver and gold to redeem his people. That's not the situation. It's not that he just decided to use this payment as opposed to that payment. That's not the situation. The situation is, there was not enough silver and not enough gold in the earth to satisfy the payment. It did not exist. Silver and gold could not pay it. It could not pay the price. There was not enough value in them. All of the silver and all of the gold did not contain enough value. They were worthless in the debt that we had because of our sin. Completely worthless. We know that our debt was paid. But this is what we don't know. This is what we cannot fathom about our debt. We cannot fathom truly how great it was. We know that he paid it. And we know that he did not use corruptible things as silver and gold. But what we do not know is how great the debt truly was. And that's what I would like for us to try to enter into here for just a moment. I hope we will see something of how great our debt truly was and the fact that we can't fathom how great it was. Such a great debt. The debt to God that we were in was so great, nothing on this earth had enough value in it to make the payment. Nothing. Now, not only was there not enough silver and gold to physically pay it, what silver and gold represent in the scripture? Everything in this word has a spiritual meaning. Every story that is written, everything God has written in his book represents something spiritual. And what gold and silver represent couldn't pay it either. The gold and the silver couldn't pay it, and what they represent couldn't pay it. Look with me, if you would, over at Exodus chapter 30. It says in Exodus 30, verse 1, "And thou shalt make an altar." God told Moses to make an altar. "To burn incense upon of shittim wood shalt thou make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof, four square shall it be." The same dimension, a square. "And two cubits shall be the height thereof, the horns thereof shall be of the same. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold." God said, overlay the whole thing with pure gold. "The top thereof and the sides thereof round about, and the horns thereof. And thou shalt make unto it a crown of gold round about. And two golden rings shalt thou make to it under the crown of it. By the two corners thereof, upon the two sides of it, shalt thou make it. And they shall be for places for the staves to bear it withal. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood and overlay them with pure gold." Everything on that altar was covered in pure gold. Everything. The same thing was said, if we continue reading, the same thing was said about the ark. God told Moses, "I want you to make an ark." The mercy seat that went on top of the ark. The cherubims on the mercy seat. The table of showbread. The dishes, the spoons, the bowls, the candlestick, everything. Everything that pertained to the law. Everything that pertained to God's law was covered in pure gold. And man, trying to appease God for breaking that law by making continual sacrifices to him. All through the Old Testament, the priest made continual sacrifices to God on these golden altars and on these tables and the candlestick. Everything that pertained to the law and pertained to the sacrifice, they continually made sacrifice, continually made sacrifice. And that's what men and women are still doing to this day. They are continually trying to make sacrifices to God for their sins. They sacrifice this and they don't touch that and they this. They're trying to sacrifice to God for their sin. Everything that pertained to man's sacrifice. The sacrifice that took place in a tabernacle that chapters 26 and 27, if we continued reading on into 26 and 27, it says the tabernacle had to have sockets of silver and hooks of silver and pillars of silver. Everything that pertained to man's sacrifice was covered in silver and gold. Everything. And it was never enough. It was never enough. That golden altar had sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice on it. That golden bowl was filled with blood, and it was filled with blood, and it was filled with blood, and it was never enough. And that's what I'd like for us to get a hold of. This debt is so great, man's sacrifice will never be enough. Men and women are always trying to find out the answer to the question, what do I have to do? What do I have to do for God to be okay with me and God to accept me into His kingdom and everything to be appeased? And what do I have to do? What do I have to do? What sacrifice do I have to make? It will never be enough. Man's sacrifice will never be enough. It will never be able to pay this indescribable debt. Never. The debt is too great. There is not enough gold and there's not enough silver. There's not enough sacrifice by the hands of man, by anything that exists in this earth. It'll never be enough. In Hebrews 10, it says in verse 1, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Those sacrifices that they offer, they could never make those who were coming for a sacrifice clean and perfect and spotless and sinless. Couldn't do it. Verse 2 says, for then would they not have ceased to be offered? If they became perfect, wouldn't the sacrifices have stopped? And that's a good question for men and women today. If we have been made perfect by a sacrifice, shouldn't we stop trying to make our own? Verse 2, for then would they not have ceased to be offered because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins? There'd be nothing to sacrifice for. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. It is just not possible. Not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should put away sin. The reason is because, here's the reason why. That blood is not valuable enough. That's the reason why. There's not enough value in it. If every animal on this earth was slain, every single animal on earth, the debt would still be infinitely more than the price that all that blood could pay. Just for one sinner against God. My sin, your sin. If all the animals on earth were slain, it still wouldn't be enough. There's not enough value in it. Christ paid a debt that He did not owe. He paid a debt that we could not pay and nothing on this earth could pay. He was the only one. He was the only one. All right, well, what did Christ pay it with? If He was the only one who could, and if He did, what did He pay it with? If there was nothing here that was valuable enough, what did He pay it with? Well, if you're turning with me and you want to hold your place in Hebrews, we're going to come back in just a moment. It says in Acts chapter 3, verse 1, Acts chapter 3, verse 1, it says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. They brought this man who was lame, and they laid him there so he could beg. Verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. He thought they were going to give him some money. So I'm sure he reached out his hand to take it from them. Verse 6, it says, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And that's what the true preacher of the gospel tells men and women today. Sinners today who are lame before God, broken, poor beggars before God. Silver and gold have I none. I don't have any deeds of the law to give you. But such as I have, give I to you. What did Peter have to give him? What did John have to give him? What does every true preacher of the gospel have to give sinners? Here it is. The message of the blood of Jesus Christ. The message of who Jesus of Nazareth is, why he came, what he accomplished, and where he is now. The gospel of the blood of Christ. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Why would he call him that? Jesus of Nazareth. Why call him that? It's because he shall save his people from their sins. Verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. He was already healed before he ever walked into the temple. He went into the temple just to give thanks, not to do anything or offer anything to be healed. He was healed. He just went in leaping and praising God, thanking God for what he'd done for him. Over in Acts chapter 20, it says in verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. He purchased them with his own blood. That's what made the payment. That's what made the purchase. His own blood. That's the only thing that was valuable enough to make the payment. His own blood. Back in Hebrews, this time chapter 9. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained, not having put a down payment on, not having opened up the way to make it possible, not having just started the work, having obtained. Finished, paid in full, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He went in one time into the Holy of Holies with his own blood. He did that on the cross of Calvary. He was the lamb slain, the sacrifice slain with his own blood. He took that before God. He made one offering to God. And in that one offering, he obtained eternal redemption for us. That's glorious, isn't it? That's just beautiful. What nothing on earth could do, one offering, he obtained it forever. Now, if you go with me back to our text, which is 1 Peter 1, verse 18, it says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We know through the good news of this word that we were redeemed by the only thing that could redeem us. God's people know that. They see that through the word of God. Redeemed by the precious blood of Christ alone. That's it. Now, what does it mean when he says precious? He said it's the precious blood of Christ. What does that mean? Why is it precious? What makes His blood precious? Well, it's precious because it's sinless. That's what made a payment for us. Sinless blood. He's the only one who possesses sinless blood. Verse 19 says, without blemish and without spot. Sinless. It's precious because it's only found in one place. In Him. There's a fountain filled with blood. Where did it come from? It was drawn from Emmanuel's veins. It was drawn straight out of God Himself. It's precious to God because it's His own blood. It's His own blood. You think about that. In order to redeem His sinful people, it took the blood of God Himself. It took His own blood. That was God's blood. Straight out of the body of God. Precious to Him. It's precious to Him because it's His own blood. It's precious to us because it actually made the payment. It actually made the payment. All those bulls and goats and all of these pagan religions have sacrificed young girls and things of that nature. And they never made the payment. His blood actually made the payment. Actually made the payment. It was the only thing that actually made the payment. Now, entering in just a little bit to how great the debt was. Nothing on earth was valuable enough to pay it. Entering into that, let's take just a small moment here and enter into how great the payment was. We see how great the debt was. Let's see how great the payment was. We'll never be able to fathom how great the payment that He made was. Never. Infinitely greater than the debt, though. We've tried to enter into how great the debt was. Infinitely greater than the debt was the payment for it. Infinitely greater. It was a precious payment. And the word precious means, when you look up the translation of the word, it means of great price. It means held in honor. It means highly esteemed. It means especially dear. And this is my favorite one. It means had in reputation. That's what the word precious means. Had in reputation. This payment was had in reputation. What that means is all of heaven knew. All of heaven knew. Knew what? What did heaven know? Heaven knew how precious it was. Heaven knew how valuable it was. Heaven knew how valuable it is. Heaven knows that. How valuable it is. It's held in reputation. His blood is held in reputation. The end of verse 12 says, all the angels desire to look into what He did. All the angels desire to look into this. And the reason is because all the angels know that Christ's blood is the most valuable substance in heaven. Nothing more valuable. The life is in the blood. Eternal life is in His blood. And it's held in honor. It's held in reputation to be the most costly thing that heaven possesses. Just like when Mary Magdalene, I'm sure you know the story of when she broke the most valuable thing she had in her house, an alabaster box full of ointment. She broke it and poured it all over the Lord Jesus Christ. On the day of our redemption, our blessed Redeemer took the most valuable thing that heaven possessed. His own blood. It was housed in His body. And He broke it. And He poured it all over His people. And the fragrance filled the house of heaven. God smelled the sweet savor of His offering of blood. The valuable blood. And He was satisfied. It would be just like if we wanted to buy a 1 cent lump of coal. We wanted to purchase a 1 cent lump of coal, and we came and brought a $500,000 gold brick and set it down and said, is that enough? Will that make the payment? Is this enough to redeem that 1 cent lump of coal? When God the Father looks at us, covered in from the crown of our head to the sole of our foot in the most costly substance that heaven possesses, the blood of His Son, when He looks at us covered in that blood, He says, what debt? What sin? Oh, the payment is made. Made in full. You know, we have it in our minds that we owe this much and He just paid right up to it, to the last cent. No, no, no. The payment so far surpassed the debt. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And all the angels, when they look at God's people covered in that blood, they're in awe of what they say. Just the value. The value. We're bought with a price, and we cannot imagine the price. We cannot imagine the value of what He paid to redeem our sinful souls. How glorious it is to be covered in the precious blood of the Lamb. That's a glorious gospel. That's glorious news. You know, we just hope God will accept us covered in His blood. It'd be like somebody having one painting in their house. I just have one painting. All I have, the Mona Lisa. That's the only one I have. Priceless. That's what we have if we have the blood of the Lamb. I pray God may cover us in His blood. May He cause us to see His blood to be the only thing that will redeem us. May He cause us to see His blood to be the only thing of any value and worth. Oh, Lord, cover us in the blood. May God look upon us covered in that blood. And in that blood, may we have eternal life with Him. Everything heaven possesses with Christ. Till next week, may the Lord bless His word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.